Hey, Mark Harrington coming to you live here from the University of Kentucky in Lexington, Kentucky. We're displaying our Jumbotron today, created equal here. And we've been on the circuit now. We've got the, what are we calling it?
Road Trip for Life.
I forgot what the name of it was. We call it the Road Trip for Life, where our young people have been on the road for now almost 2.5 weeks. We've got two groups, basically, traveling the country. We got some in Ohio. We got some in the surrounding states of Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky. Obviously, we're here today. We're going to Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Did I say Michigan already? Yeah, okay. So we're going to be reaching about, I think it's 30-some college campuses before the end of October, and also some 20 high schools. We're also going to clinics every day. So each day, our activists, our Road Trip for Life warriors, are going to be going to a clinic or abortion facility, a university campus, and a high school. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2.5 weeks. And so we're here at the University of Kentucky. As you can see behind me, our Jumbotron, or what we call Son of Jumbotron, our Son of Jumbotron. The Jumbotron, a real Jumbotron, by the way, an authentic Jumbotron, is what we use at the March for Life. And that screen is 12 by 18. A little bigger than this one. It also comes on a trailer and it periscopes out of the trailer. That's what we use in big venues like the March for Life and other large gatherings. When it comes to a college campus, this is what we use. It's still the Jumbotron technology, the LED screen. It's just a little bit smaller and it doesn't come with a trailer. And there's obvious reasons for that, because we can't just roll up and put a trailer on a college campus. There's a lot of places won't permit it. It just doesn't work. So what we do is we actually build a scaffolding, you see behind me, and these little cubes or these modules, these units here, actually are constructed to form this 6x8 screen that you see behind me. So this is the Jumbotron technology. Now, just FYI, when we use an iPhone, because of the refresh rate on the video, sometimes it's not really coming out through the video the way it would if you looked at it with the naked eye, FYI. I mean, this is crystal clear for students for long ways back and forth, whether they're nearby or they're far away, they can see this no matter what. So we're right in here, the heart of campus here at the University of Kentucky with the Jumbotron. We also have our other abortion victim photos around the display. And the point is, people ask, well, why do you do it this way? Why do you use victim photos? Why do you use victim video? And the reason we do that is because we believe that we need to set the foundation for an informed debate. And if you don't set the foundation, starting with that abortion is an act of violence and the baby's a baby, then it's just a bunch of opinion. And you're going to get people up here saying, well, this is what I think. And then you're going to say, well, this is what I think. Yeah, we have the facts. We got the logic. We have the science, of course. But the photos set the stage for the dialogue. And it's necessary. It's required, in my opinion. I frankly would not use or would not debate abortion if I had the opportunity. I would not do it without some type of imagery, because the pictures don't lie. Still images, it's been said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a video, if that's true, a video is worth 1,000,000 words. And that's what this video does. So we've had students streaming by the display all throughout the day. We were at the University of Louisville this week. We were at Eastern Kentucky, and today we're at the University of Kentucky. Tonight, our team will leave and head out to Morgantown, West Virginia. The University of West Virginia will be our event tomorrow. So, a lot of people are curious about the Jumbotron. Like I say, this isn't the one we use at the march. This isn't the 12 by 18, but it's the same technology, scaled down for a college campus, more suitable, I would say, for a college campus. And we call it Son of Jumbotron, affectionately. So, as you can see behind me, these, you know, it goes without saying what's going on in this video here. It's interesting, you know, get people coming up and asking for proof. Give us proof that these are actual photos. You know, I think that's actually kind of curious. Why do we really need proof? I mean, do you think we'd go to the extent of Photoshop and all this stuff? who could create that video? I guess it could be done today, but really, I always tell them, well, if you don't think these are real, if you think they're fake, okay, well, then show me a real abortion. Why don't you provide the evidence? If you say the onus is on you to provide imagery of an actual abortion, not us. I mean, we're showing it. You need to show what you think is an abortion. Of course, they never do because they realize these actually are images and video of abortion. We also have a signed affidavit from Anthony Levitino saying that these are actual abortions. He's a medical doctor who performed 1,200 abortions himself. He verifies that these are true as well. We also have the photographer himself has signed an affidavit. So, I mean, we have what we need to provide general evidence that these are actual videos and photos of abortion. But the thing is, when people come up and ask that question, there's something behind the question. And the question is, they want to try to catch you off guard, you know, on a technicality, because they really don't want to deal with the imagery themselves. They want to change the subject, right? They don't want to talk about what these pictures are, and they keep, you know, because if they are real, if they do depict the injustice of abortion accurately, then those who support the killing have a big problem on their hands. And that's why we have protesters set up alongside here of the Jumbotron right now with their Planned Parenthood signs and so forth. We got the anarchists out here. We got the Antifa. They're all out here trying to reach people. They're out here because they know what's going on. I mean, they wouldn't be out here if this wasn't effective. So this is the Jumbotron, son of Jumbotron, and we're at the University of Kentucky today. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to introduce you Lauren Metz. Lauren's with our team this week, our Road Trip for Life team. Lauren, if you would come. I wanted to just get Lauren to answer a few questions. If you would go ahead and come underneath the yellow tape here. I mean, this isn't much of a barrier, folks. If somebody wanted to come inside this, they could. But it creates some kind of at least a visual barrier that if you do come inside, that's not a good idea. And we have law enforcement stationed outside the area in the event that happens. But Lauren's with us. She's a gap year. Come on closer here. She's what we call a gap year intern. A gap year intern is generally someone who graduated high school and is in between high school and college and wants to try out the idea of doing full-time work. So they spend 9 months with us generally. And after that nine-month period, we evaluate things between us and decide whether they want to continue on or not, go to college, what have you. But it's an opportunity to kind of test the waters on whether they want to do full-time work with Created Equal. Lauren's also been on our Justice Ride. She's been an intern over the summer, so she understands what we do. And I just wanted to get have you guys who are watching hear from her. I mean, she's been on the Road Trip for Life now for 2.5 weeks, been to all the colleges, all the high schools, all the clinics. And I just want to ask her, Lauren, how are things gone, generally, I mean, speaking, on the trip? I know you're tired. I know it's a lot of work. You wake up early, go to bed late. But generally speaking, how have things been for you?
It's actually been really, really great. It's been really, really great. Just a full schedule, which has been amazing. We talk to so many people and we get the message out to so many people. And it's really great to see like that happening and to see people's minds change right in front of you.
So, okay, so you've been to, I don't know how many colleges now. Give me some notable conversations or events or experiences you've had because there are people watching this, parents maybe that have young people that they might want to think about sending out for the Road Trip or Life or go on a Justice Ride or be part of our internship. And I want people to know that what we do is effective. So, you know, give us, I don't know, a typical day, what happened, you know, good and not so good. I mean, it's all good, really, but if you would. And tell me about what's been going on the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of my favorite conversations that I had was at the Eastern Michigan University.
And
Ypsilanti. Yeah.
Not Ypsilanti.
Oh, Ypsilanti, of course.
It's not Ypsilanti. It's Ypsilanti.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were out there for a while, and then we started getting our protesters, and they brought out their cardboard signs that they had made, and it definitely, like, they way outnumbered us.
Really?
Yes, it was crazy.
Did they know we were coming? They must have, because normally if they don't, they don't outnumber us. It's not, yeah. By the way, folks, it's not hard to outnumber us right now. I mean, we're purposely a small team. So you can be lean, mean, fighting machine. So we can be moving quickly, going fast. We don't have the logistics of a big group. So that's the, I mean, part of it's in, on intent, you know, we intend it to be a small group. So it's not unusual we'd be outnumbered on campus. But you know what? The Jumbotron is the equalizer. It's the protest equalizer. I don't care how many students you have out here. You could have hundreds out here. That thing will equal out any protest they come. So, okay, so Eastern Michigan, you're outnumbered. Go ahead.
We probably had about 30 protesters and then five of us. And I was going around and taking pictures, and a couple girls came up to me and asked why I wanted to take away women's rights. As a woman, get that question
right,
a lot.
Right. You're not a real woman unless you, you know, agree with abortion, apparently.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
Yeah.
And they were very angry at first, and one of them asked me if I would call women who have had abortions murderers. I said no, like, I think that a lot of those women feel pressure, they're scared, they don't know what to do, and her whole demeanor changed. She was willing to listen to me after that, which was very exciting.
Well, she's probably post-abortive of herself. I mean, a lot of them are, as you well know. I mean, the protesters, a lot of them come from some background with abortion, whether they participated in it directly, took a friend to have one, or whatever. A lot of them are complicit. Therefore, they're expecting you, in some, you know, they're expecting you to maybe call them murderers and all that stuff. And of course, we don't do that. But once you allow them to their guard to drop, then you can have that conversation. Go ahead.
So we started talking about every case imaginable. She asked about rape. She asked about in the life of the mother. What if the mother can't afford it? And each case we went through and we talked about it, and she started, like, slowly coming over to our side.
Is a protest.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And she didn't.
That doesn't happen every day.
Yeah. She didn't finish the conversation saying she was pro-life, but she said that I gave her a lot to think about. And she had to get to class, but she thanked me for being out there and said that I was the best or the nicest pro-lifer she had talked to.
Yeah.
And it,
you know, like, we're mean people. I mean, we're not. But yes, they perceive us as mean. And of course, the stereotype is that, you know, pro-lifers are mean. So she's bought into that lie.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But it was really, like, rewarding to talk to one of the women that came up and was originally hostile and finished thanking me for being there. So that was my favorite conversation that I had.
That was the favorite one.
Definitely.
How's everything else been going since then? I mean, I know it's a lot of work. You're up early. You go to bed late. How are you hanging in there?
Pretty well. It's been tiring, but it's been really great. Like, I really enjoy high school at the end of the day and talking
to
the
people.
Let's
talk about the high school.
By the way, we go to the high school, so we do three things in one day. Clinic, outreach, or abortion facility. I hate to call it a clinic, because clinics are where people actually get healed. They don't get killed, but for the sake of argument or debate or presenting it, it's clinic. Clinic outreach in the morning. Then we go to the college, then we go to the high school. Yesterday we went to a high school here in, it was in Richmond, which is outside